Ephesians 6, verse 4, these are God's words. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Children, and all of us, are prone to wrath, prone to anger, because the world is not as we would have it. The sin by which an angel became a devil was pride, which is a sadly instructive, grievously instructive in our culture in the current moment as we are in so-called Pride Month. Pride in ourselves in any way would be sin, let alone pride in perversion. But one of the things that pride leads to is wrath. And you can see this in those who are perverted, when their perversion is accurately called out, the rage that ensues. But you can also see it in a parent who, in his pride, has an idea of what providence he should receive today. And when the providence goes awry, how easily short-tempered he becomes. And you can see it in children who do not get the food that they want or the activity that they want or who are not listened to or allowed to dominate others like they want and so forth. Children are full of wrath so long as they are convinced that they should be the center of the world, the center of their world and of everybody else's world. Which is why covenant children have such an advantage, because they have been marked in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are visibly, externally, covenantally joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Bible calls them saints. There's not a covenant child in the New Testament who is not considered a saint. There's not a conversion of a single covenant child who is born into a Christian family recorded for us in the New Testament. And yet, as we know, even as covenant adults, Christian in name is not always Christian in thought and heart and conduct. And so children are taught not just to obey their parents, but to obey their parents in the Lord. And then parents are reminded that with our children being sinners and we being sinners too, we may be those who provoke them to want to be their own, the center of their own world. They, of course, are responsible for their own sin. Everyone is responsible for their own sin. But here we have a reminder that we are responsible to think about and anticipate the way our actions affect others. You cannot be intentionally provocative and say, well, it's his fault he has a temper. Then you cannot be unintentionally provocative and fail to take your responsibility for not recognizing, or maybe unintentionally is the word, you cannot be ignorantly provocative and not take responsibility for your failure to recognize how you affect others. So the first thing, or not the first thing, but some obvious things that this means is that we must conduct ourselves uprightly, edifyingly with one another, and especially with our children. And we must be thoughtful for the care of one another's bodies. Things like not keeping a child up too late, or giving them sugar, which is like crack cocaine for children, or other common grace, ordinary wisdom sorts of things. But it is especially the special grace means, the means of God's special grace, redeeming grace, that are at the center of not provoking a child to wrath. having that family worship with them that we've been hearing about and thinking about as we memorize Deuteronomy 6 through 7 this week, bringing them up before the face of God so that they don't, so that their self-centeredness is not diminished or treated by teaching them to be parent-centered, God forbid. And they just trade one demonic focus for another, but that their self-centeredness would be treated by a God-centered life. And the way that God gives the God-centered life is through word-saturated worship as the rhythm for life, the punctuation for life. And then, when they are out of line, you come in with the rod and the reproof that Proverbs teaches us to use in coordination together. And so you have this training that is formative discipline, morning and evening, and you know, when you lie down and when you rise up, and all day long, and whatever the actions are, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. So there's formative discipline first. But then there's also the corrective discipline, that when they do sin, it's not a sin because it offends what you want, although hopefully you do want what's best for them. It's a sin because it offends what God wants. And so you come with not the parents' revenge, but the discipline of the Lord and the correction of the admonition of the Lord. The vast majority, you want the vast majority of your children's discipline to be that formative discipline, that when you lie down and when you rise up and when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way. And yet you'll find early in the child's life, they'll give you a run for it with opportunities for corrective discipline. But the more consistently you do both, and both require consistency, the more, Lord willing, and blessing your obedience to not provoke the child to wrath, the more the Lord's discipline or training and the Lord's admonition or instruction, the more it will have the effect. And as they learn to live before Him, walk before Him, as God gives them tender hearts by His Spirit's blessing upon the Word, you will need much less of the corrective discipline. There are children who will be corrected and trained. The Lord brings them to a maturity where they are corrected and trained by the Word just as well as by the rod. You know, they fulfill that proverb that the Word enters their heart more deeply than 100 blows enter into a fool. And we know that the rod isn't meant for all of life, or adults would be going around getting spankings for their sin. But the desire is that in our worship times and in the use of the Word saturating our conversations in other times, and that's an area I think our family could grow in all of these. Thinking and speaking biblically to one another. And obviously that would have to change patterns of what we do. Very difficult to indulge yourself in worldly things for an hour at a time, for hours at a time, if we are speaking to one another faithfully from the Word, and the Lord give us to change both. But this is the sort of life that God desires and God commands for parents to live with their children. And may the Lord give it to us, and to whatever extent you do not receive it from your earthly father, if you know that it is the will of your heavenly Father, you may look to Him for extraordinary grace to help you be scripture-minded and mindful throughout the day. Lord willing, we're going to be doing, after the deacon training in the Bible class, in the Sabbath school, we're going to be doing the battle plan for the mind book on Christian meditation, but it's a lot easier for everyone to do the Christian meditation and taking control of your mind with the Word of God if we have Christian conversation. So let us ask God that His Spirit would give us this sort of life together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your Spirit has given us these words in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And we pray that He would write them on our hearts, that the words which you have commanded us in Scripture would be in all of our hearts, and that it would be out of that we speak of them when we sit in the house and walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise up. And we pray that you would not only do this for our house now, but that you would be so convincing my children of the necessity to live and think like this, and so preparing spouses for them who think the same way, that they would have their training and instruction in their homes to be your training and your instruction, formatively and correctively, for the generation that is to come. Grant it, O God, and grant your Spirit's attendance upon all that speaking of your word, that it would be mixed with faith, that it would profit us, that it would glorify you, that it would give convincing and converting and building up in holiness and building up in comfort unto salvation, unto your glory in Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen.